The sermon this evening is from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Again, here we have King Solomon, presumably in his old age. He has pursued all things to satisfy himself, to give himself joy and to find purpose, but he has found all to be empty. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I said to myself, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself." And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, "It is madness." And of pleasure, "What does it accomplish?" I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had home-born slaves. I also possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers, and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all of my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. So I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. Then I said to myself, "As is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise?" So I said to myself, "This too is vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten, and how the wise man and the fool die alike. So I hated life. For the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor, for which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his tasks is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. This, too, is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while the sinner, he is given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after wind. Pray with me. Father, help us to come carefully now to listen to you, to hear your truth, to hear your perspective as we each live under the sun, laboring and working. May we not be striving after the wind and emptiness. But Father, may we be blessed in you and rejoice in you and rejoice in your eternal blessing. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. You've probably heard that slogan or that phrase. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Never meant much to me till we started running. Then when we started running stupid distances, now I look at these event shirts that I run and I shake my head and say, right, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and it was a bit stupid, and it hurt. Here we look at King Solomon, and at the end of his days, he could say that, only he would tweak it probably a bit, been there, done that, have the scars. Many of us can say that as well. Been there, done that, have the scars. We look at the way that life is perceived here. It's maddening to think of Solomon living a long life, looking at the things that he accomplished. And if you could go out with him in his old age, walk the grounds, walk the city, look, and he planted a forest. He could show you the streams and the irrigation that he accomplished. He could show you his fields and his fruit. He could have you in and have a concert with his own singers. He could show you all of his wealth and all of his riches. He could show you how the borders of Israel were extended under his rule. And if you said, whoa, high five, Solomon, he would just lower his head and say, empty. Empty. It's been worthless. You would look at this old man and you would wonder, how? How can you say this? How can you say your forests and your fields and your land and your riches and your wisdom, everybody in the world knows you. How can you say it's empty? Well, we look at him, and as we read throughout this book, he was looking for something that would last forever. That's what he wanted. When he looked and saw someone labor vigorously, it was as if he was watching someone build an ice sculpture. And you just shrug and say, all right, pretty, but you know it's going to melt. Saying, everything I've done is nothing more than an ice sculpture. Now, is that true for you? I wonder, what do you have that you have worked so hard for that you say, aha, I have arrived. I have accomplished the fruit of my labor. Behold, generations will tell about me. This is what he was looking for. He wanted eternal renown. What are you looking for? What are you working for? What are you hoping to accomplish? Can you see here that if it's any echo or any reflection of what Solomon here was doing, you too are laboring after vanity, after emptiness. You too are chasing the wind. We have to look and see that there is nothing that we can build that could not be taken away from us. Riches and fortunes and retirements can be lost. Houses can be lost. Everything can be lost. And we would have to sit in the dust and say, vanity. It was all vanity. Well, I'm inviting you to move beyond vanity. I'm inviting you to move to eternal worth. I'm inviting you to work for the joy of eternal blessing that's in Christ Jesus. Our first step is accept the answer given. This is a big one for all of us. Sometimes in our lives, an answer is given, and we have these people who say, I got to learn the hard way. You can tell me, but I have to learn the hard way. There was a girl in one of our first youth groups that made that statement. Yeah, but I have to learn everything the hard way. And in that moment, I almost asked her, does that mean you have to go out and get pregnant to a fool? You have to run away from home? You have to go to jail? And I wanted to lay out all these stupid things that she could do. And she did them all. She did them all. I have to learn the hard way. Do you really? Do you really have to learn the hard way? Can we pull out a hammer and give it to you? And can we say, if you smash your foot with that, it's going to hurt? Are you going to shrug and say, I have to learn the hard way? And go ahead and smash your foot with a hammer. Do you really? Here we have the benefit of King Solomon. I think we can say he tried everything. And we have the benefit of seeing this old man crumpled over, having tried everything, and he stands and he says, it's empty. It is empty. Let's go through the list, just so you can know, and you can take it in, you can say, you know what? Someone told me, and I believe them. Someone has tested this, and I've accepted the answer. We see in verse 2, he describes the answer already. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's empty. In verse 3, we see he experimented with alcohol. And he says, it didn't accomplish anything. It was empty. I gave myself to it. It accomplished nothing. He made houses. And that wasn't good enough. It didn't satisfy him. It was empty. He made vineyards. It wasn't good enough. It did not satisfy him. He made gardens and parks and orchards. It wasn't good enough. It didn't satisfy him. He made ponds and irrigated entire forests. He collected slaves for himself and generations of slaves. He collected flocks for himself. He became greater than King David, the giant slayer. And he could look and stand and boast in all of his glory, stand on the highest top in Jerusalem and survey all that he had made. He had kings and princes and queens coming to him and bringing him gold. He had his own concerts lifted up and built up, playing music just for him. He had all the riches and all of the wealth. And he says, it's nothing. It's accomplished me nothing. Do you have to learn the hard way? Or can you look and can you see the scars of King Solomon and say, no, I want something else. I want something real. I want something eternal. He says in verses 9 through 11, he gives the summary of these first verses. Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart was pleased because of all of my labor, and this was my reward. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Can you accept it? Can you accept it? Can you accept that apart from Christ, everything you're running after for joy and peace and acceptance, you are chasing the wind. And you will have no peace in it. Our next step, number two, is don't fall in the darkness of worldly wisdom. There is a worldly wisdom out there that will call you and invite you. It'll shout to you and it'll say, come here and I will fulfill you. Come here, I will give you peace. Come here, I will give you joy. I will give you prosperity. Verses 12 through 14. So I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels the darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them all. What is this wisdom of the world? There was a man that I had met when I was in Boy Scouts, and I was young and impressionable. And one evening, there was no TVs there where I was. I was on staff, and so there was lots of talking and lots of philosophizing. And people would just share. It was like a pool of ignorance in a lot of ways. We all just told each other what we made up, and we'd say, oh, wow, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. Well, this older fella invited younger me, young and impressionable, hadn't been anywhere, done anything. I considered myself a Christian, and we laid in his tent at night, and he started putting all of these concepts before me. And he was a heavy drinker, and he was a smoker, and you could just go through the list of vices, and I was against all of these things. And then he grabs this idea, and he sets it before me, because I was rejecting all of these things, and he says, Micah, sounds like you just judge everything from the outside. How can you judge these things if you've never tried them? And he just took his time and he unraveled my world and my reality. I remember walking around in the dark that night in the woods at camp, actually weeping, because I felt like I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't really have a foundation at that point. What is the foundation? Is the foundation your personal experience? Is the foundation what you do? Is your foundation what you can rationalize? Because it gets to the point where you can rationalize anything. You can justify anything in your own mind. Even the wisdom that Solomon claims to have embraced led him down dark paths of madness and folly, as he describes it. But there is a true wisdom. Proverbs 19:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you're running around and you're looking for something else to satisfy you and complete you, something besides the acceptance of Christ, you are running in the dark. You are running in madness. You are running in folly. You will be injured. You will be injured badly and deeply. And it would be only the grace of Christ that would heal you and bring you back. If you have come to the place of madness, if you come to the place of folly, if you come to the place where you're running in the dark, I invite you to Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. I consider this a safety line. And when we're invited to darkness, there is this line that we hold on to, that we will not be pulled into shadow, that we know He has given us His word. He has given us His law. It is this protection for us. There are secret things out there, yes, and there are secret things that will whirl around your head. You will not have all of the answers in this life, and you've got to be okay with that. But the things revealed belong to us. His truth, His love embodied in His law. There is a foundation. We believe because we know that He is. That is faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Because you have to please Him, you have to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. There's your foundation. You can't go any further than that. That we hold on to, there we have our safety line. Now, we're not left in shadow or even in twilight at that point. We're at the place of dawn at that point. We're watching the sky. We have that beautiful pale blue starting that I call that color of anticipation. We know a light will dawn. We know that we have hope. We know that Christ is coming and joy comes in the morning. And this is our third step, to have hope of eternal blessing. In this place, knowing that the questions have been put forth, the answers have been given, He has given us His word as a foundation. In this place, we move forward with hope. Now, Solomon, he speaks to us in the midst of the shadow in verse 17. He says, "So I hated life." So I hated life. So I hated my life, he says. He looks around. He sees all that he has tried. He's seen all of his efforts. And he says, I hate where I am. I hate who I am. I hate everything that is around me. I hate life. As a Christian, can we say that? Can we hate our life as a Christian? When we look at the reality of our lives, that as we're trusting in Christ, He is ever with us. We could look at Acts 17:26, see that He has determined the boundaries of our habitation. He has placed us where we are. He has determined the length of our days. His hand is always upon us. When we rise in the morning, He is there. Before a word is on our mouths, He is there. The reality of your life is He has determined where you are. Now you determine how you respond to your circumstances. You do it in despair, as if Christ is not there, as if Christ doesn't care, as if Christ has not determined the boundaries of your habitation, as if Christ has not determined the length of your days. Or can you stand firm and say, I know my Redeemer lives, and I know that my God is a rewarder of those that seek Him. From that place, won't you have hope? Even confidence, even joy. We are in this place where we say the labor of our hands is not worthless. Even though the kitchen counter will be dirty again in 5 minutes, my work is not worthless. Even though every effort that I put forth is going to wash away like a sandcastle, is my work worthless then? We come back to Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Therefore, do your work heartily, even if it's a sandcastle. Do your work heartily. Do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that the Lord, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Clean your kitchen counter for Christ. Cut your grass for Christ. Teach for Christ. Admonish for Christ. Labor, love, submit for Christ. He sees all of these things and he is the rewarder of those who seek him. He sees your labor. He sees your suffering. He is with you and he cares. And he will leave no good deed in his name unrewarded. You can lay up treasure in heaven cleaning your poor kitchen counter and doing that wretched laundry. He sees. He cares. There is this great passage in Deuteronomy 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the midst of pain, persecution, disappointment, falling sandcastles, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is that joy that we have in him, knowing he's seeing what we do, and the sunrise is coming. That is a great line. The sky is always darkest just before the dawn. The sunrise is coming. Matthew 6:19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How's your heart then? How's your heart then? Is your heart in Christ? Is your heart in heaven? Is your heart in the eternal reward? That is not vanity. That is not emptiness. That is eternal glory. What is your chief end? What is your highest purpose? What is your highest calling? What is the highest calling of all mankind? To glorify the Lord, that is to demonstrate his value, his worth, his love, and his authority. To glorify the Lord and to enjoy him forever. That's a great job description. That is a great job description. Put that down and advertise that in a paper. To demonstrate God's glory, authority, power, and love, and to enjoy him forever. Say, sign me up. I don't care what the pay is. That's a great job. Sign me up. That's where we are. Now, this doesn't remove our current circumstances, which brings us to our fourth step, which is walk through the shadow of death. We are given this picture here in verse, well, in the fourth step, and these are verses 14 through 26. He describes it, and I heard a saying that I enjoyed very much. The king and the pawn, at the end of the game, they both end up in the same box. You know, we're all going to die. He looks and says, the wise man and the fool. They're both going to die. In our old age, we will lean on our staves. We will draw our feet up into our bed. And we will breathe our last. The question will be, are we in the arms of Christ? Are we in the arms of Christ? That great picture, or that great question of King Solomon. Did he die in the arms of Christ? Well, I'm pleading with you at this point to look at Solomon's scars and spare yourself these things. Decades of running after emptiness. Decades of sin and misery and scars. experimenting with folly and madness and sin. And just to move from that and to do your work heartily as for the Lord. Having this hope and this expectation and this understanding that Jesus sees and he cares. He sees and he cares. He sees you. He knows you. And he cares. He has done his great work in loving you and laying his life down for you. He has written you a love story this many pages long. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And he cares. Do your loving labors for him. And hold on to this joy in Christ. Pray with me. Our God, we give you our hearts. We trust you with our innermost being. We trust you with who we really are. You know us. You know our thoughts from afar. You know the shadows that we have walked in. You know the dark places that we have longed to return to. And you love us and you shine this light now to bring us each back to you. Oh God, our God, we run to you. We run to your light. We run to your truth. We run to your love. Hold us fast, O God, and may we not wander. Hold us fast, O God, and may we love you and do our works in your great name, that we will show your power, that we will show your love, that we will show your authority in the ways that we live and love, that we would enjoy you now and forever. Thank you for caring. Thank you for stooping down and receiving us. Thank you for calling us your sons and daughters. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.